In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. As a priest, when you hear a lot of general confessions, one of the things that you'll commonly hear of people who are older is times in which they have stolen things or direct damaged people's property, and so you always have to ask them if they've made restitution, and rarely have people made restitution. Some have, but rarely do people make restitution. But if the injustice is grave, restitution is necessary for salvation. So we're talking about something that's fairly serious. Restitution is necessary because the injustice continues if we do not pay back or render what we have taken. St. Thomas holds that restitution is a positive precept, that is, one must pay back, based upon a negative precept. You can't keep what is illicitly obtained or what doesn't belong to you. Restitution must be in proportionate equality. And by that we mean that when you pay back, you have to either give the thing itself, and that's your first obligation, is to give the thing back, or something of equal value. Not all violations of justice, however, require restitution, because restitution, because of the very nature of the injustice, restitution cannot be made, so you don't have to make them. For example, committing adultery or rape or things of this sort, you can't pay back to the person that you've committed the injustice against. Sometimes you can restore the thing, but not completely. For example, if a family heirloom gets destroyed because of your negligence or something you do intentionally, you can't pay the value back of it, or you can give a financial amount back of the thing might be worth, but you can't pay back the sentimental value. In restitution, one has to consider both the thing that you've taken, sometimes you've got to give it back, and the person you've taken it from. Because sometimes the type of individual we take it from, the person suffers more damage as a result. For example, if you steal $5 from Bill Gates, he's not going to suffer, but you still got to give him his money back. Unless you know he's going to give it to something illicit, then you give it to something else. But then, of course, if you're talking about a widowed woman who's barely meeting paycheck to paycheck and you steal the $5, then she can't meet her bills and she gets put back and things like that, then you've got to help her come up to speed with her bills. So it's not just the $5. It's any of the damage that accrues as a result of it. Restitution must be made with respect to the fruits of the thing that you take. And what do you mean by fruits? It's the effects, the natural effects that are derived from the thing that are good that you can make use of. And so when you make restitution, you have to pay back not just the thing, but also the fruits that are derived therefrom, deducting any expenses. Let me give you an example. You steal some guy's cow, you take it home, you milk it, you drink the milk. Well, when you give the cow back, you can't just give the cow back and say, well, now we're equal. No, you're not, because you took the guy's milk, too, because the milk belongs to him as well. But you can deduct any of the hay or anything else that you use to feed the cow. If more than one person conspires in the injustice, then each is held to pay his part of it. There's also certain circumstances of restitution that have to keep in mind. Restitution must be paid to the owner and to his progeny, unless it becomes morally and physically impossible to do so. What does that mean? It means if you steal some guy's horse and he dies, and he had willed it to his son, you have to give his son the horse back. You can't just say, oh, well, the guy's dead, so I don't have to worry about it. If the injustice is public or civil, then public or civil restitution must be made. So what's this mean? Well, let's say suppose it's at one of these great big masses that the Holy Father has, and you walk up and you slap him right during Mass so that everybody in the world sees it. Well, then you have to make public restitution. You've got to get back on TV and apologize or do what have you. Restitution must be made as soon as possible, morally speaking. In other words, if I steal $100 from somebody, I have to give the $100 back as quickly as I can. Now, if I spend it to pay bills, then I have to store up or I have to take time to reasonably save up the money so that I can pay him back. I can't just say, oh, well, I'll pay him back when I get ahead. No, you've got to start saving a little bit of money so that you can pay the person back. One does not have to give restitution, as they say, ad personam, that is, to the particular individual, if there is some moral or physical impediment. So, for example, A physical impediment would be that you steal money from your company and then the company folds. Well, you can't give money back to the company, but that doesn't mean that you're off the hook yet. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It just means that there's a physical impediment, you can't pay back the person that you've taken it from. And sometimes there's a moral impediment. Let's say for the sake of argument, you borrow some guy's axe, and then you find out he's an axe murderer. Well, you don't give him his axe back. It's just that simple. Because there's a moral impediment, because you know he's going to take it around and do his business with it. Restitution is not required within the family, except between children, and only when they are capable of doing so, otherwise they are not bound. So what does this mean? It means if one of the kids are at home and he, you know, steals his mom's candy and wolfs the candy down, he doesn't have to make restitution because all of the goods of the family are considered to be held in common, even though they're under the common control of the husband. It still means they're all held in common. However, once the children become of age, if they steal from their parents or steal from each other, then they have a requirement to, that is, once they reach the age of majority, they have the requirement to pay back. We're not bound to make restitution to the state unless we're fined, but we're not bound to because of the fact that it's just a matter of change of hands as far as that, but that doesn't mean that it's morally licit to do so. When borrowing, one is bound to return the item in the same condition, less the reasonable wear and tear as understood by both parties in the lending. Otherwise, you have to pay it back. So if you borrow some guy's lawnmower and you decide that you want to go out and mow your gravel pit with it and it comes back and the thing's trashed, well, you've got to pay him back. You can't just say, oh, well, sorry, you know, I hit the pipe and your shaft bent and I don't have to pay you now, sorry. That's not how it works. Never borrow anything if you cannot afford the thing you're borrowing. That's what my father told me. If you can't afford the thing, don't borrow it. Because if something happens to it, you got to pay the guy back. Unless it's something that's absolutely necessary. Christ said, never turn away the borrower. What he's essentially saying is that you should have sufficient detachment from the things that you are order of your own so that you are able to lend them. However, even this has to follow a supernatural prudence. For example, if you live in Texas and find out some guy's a serial killer, you don't lend him your chainsaw. You know, it's that kind of a thing. So you have to be prudent in that. Also, you have to remember that there is two orders of justice. There's what we call the natural order of justice, that's between us, that is individuals, and the transcendent order of justice, that's between us and God. If you, the primary way that you fulfill the transcendent order of justice that is between us and God is by giving back, making restitution between individuals. But sometimes that can't be accomplished. And so you have to still fulfill the transcendent order of justice. That is, you have to pay God back in some way. Now, the authors make it clear that normally we should not determine for ourselves how we're going to make restitution if we can't pay the individual back. They say that should normally be brought to the confession and the priest himself should make the determination about how the restitution is going to be made. But you still have to make restitution in some way. So if you can't pay the particular individual back, then that same amount should be given to the poor or something of that sort. Failure to make restitution to a particular individual that you've taken from, if it is grave, is mortally sinful. And therefore, you cannot enter heaven without having made restitution. This is one of the reasons why you don't want to let those things, you know, you should examine your conscience and determine, are those things in the past, you know, have you stolen anything? If you haven't made restitution, you need to get that cleaned up. Failure to make restitution on something that's only venially sinful still requires time in purgatory. So you want to get that cleaned up. And lastly, in relationship to the transcendent order of justice, every sin that you commit is a form of theft. God created the natural order for his glory, and every time you commit a sin, you rob him of the glory that's due to him. And therefore, you have to pay him back. That's restitution, has a particular name. It's called reparation. And so make sure that you always do acts of reparation to God for the transcendent order of justice. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.